have to work on this music. If you will, turn to the book of James. It's very near the back of the Bible, chapter 1. There is a verse there that is very important to every church, to every member of a church, to every individual who lives upon the face of the earth. God has given us a love letter. He loves us. He has a purpose for each one of us. And that purpose is built around the fact that He does love us and He wants us to love Him. In the book of James, we find written in verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22, where there is a command given us by James, who was at that time the leader of the Christian church in Jerusalem, when he said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You know, today, it's very common for people to lie to each other. What a sad commentary on our society. It used to be men spoke truth. Men's word was their bond. But today, even the news media and the government is lying to people most of the time. It's hard to get the truth. It's hard to find the truth. And unfortunately, I see occasionally within the church, I see people lying to each other, and they should not be. The Holy Spirit has been leading me to share thoughts that I hope would alter our relations with one another and with our Lord. As we consider the situation around us today, we need to rely on Scripture for our guiding source of direction. God wants each one of us to accomplish a purpose with our life. And it is not a self-purpose. It is a purpose that involves other people around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, Paul tells the Corinthian church, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ Jesus came and died to cover our sins with his shed blood. There is no other way that our sins can be forgiven. So I would ask this morning, what is an ambassador? What is an ambassador? It says, the Bible tells us, we are ambassadors for Christ. It would be good if we knew what an ambassador was. And an ambassador is someone who represents the one sending them. Now, folks, I'm not sending you any place. I can't. The church is not sending you any place. It cannot. There is only one person who can send you, and that's God. God has a purpose for each one of you. He has a place he wants you to be. And as such, you become his ambassador. Now, reconciliation is a word that we see here. And reconciliation is resolving any conflicts. Life would be so nice if we didn't have conflicts. Churches would be good places if it wasn't for the people. Now, I think we've got a good church. I think we've got a church that loves the Lord. I think we've got people who love each other. And because of that, we can practice reconciliation, being resolved to cooperate, being resolved to meet needs in every life that we come in contact with. So, sometimes we're not good ambassadors. Sometimes we're not good representatives of Jesus Christ. I've had times when I have gotten in the flesh myself. And when I do that, I'm not thinking of God. I'm not thinking of Jesus Christ. I'm not thinking of the Holy Spirit within my heart. I'm thinking of this flesh that I live in. And I am letting it control my life. I'm letting it direct me. Sometimes to places I shouldn't be, sometimes to say things that should not be said. But there is a cure for that. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is that cure. And the Holy Spirit is the one who can change us. And that's why we meet here together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We meet here to let God mold us and make us into his ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ to someone somewhere in the world. What is that book you've got in your hands? Who wrote that book? What's the book about? Have you read the book? How does it end? Does the book have a plot? What is your relationship to the book? Those are seven questions. Have to do with you and me and the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is a history book. It tells us about the history of Israel and Judah, God's relationship to man and how he established that relationship. It tells us about the first sin with Adam and Eve. And it gives us a history of God's relationship to man from that time, almost 6,000 years ago, to now. Now, what benefit is that? Well, if we read history, we won't make the same mistake that some of the other people made. But the problem is that we don't always read history. And so we make the same mistake others have made, and we wind up with the same consequences. So the Bible's a history book, but it's also a love story. You cannot read the Bible without knowing that God does love you. Every one of you, doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what you are, God loves you. So much that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your sins so that you could have an eternal relationship with him. This book we call the Bible is the reason we meet here. That's the reason that this piece of property, this church, this building stands here on this corner. Because years ago, a man was led by the Holy Spirit to establish a church here in this place so that people could be saved, so they could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and many people have done so over the years. Our society is changing. Our society no longer wants to be under the bondage, what they would consider bondage, of God's rule. Now, they want to be free to do whatever wicked thing, whatever sinful thing that they might want to do. Because we have a heavenly Father, because we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But there is an enemy out there who does not want us to be successful. People, I've said this for years here at this church, we are at war. We are at war. There are casualties. There are many casualties as a result of war. And the devil does not want us to be successful. The devil does not want us to accomplish what God wants accomplished in this place. And he has a purpose for us being here. We would not be here if God didn't want us here. Think about that. God wants us here. God wants us doing the things that he wants us to do. And the devil is going to try and prevent that. He is going to sneak people in who do not love him, who are not willing to obey him. And this is the key to this book. This is what James was talking about, being doers of the word, not hearers only. You can sit in this service and hear all the Bible you want to hear. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're probably hearing a lot more Bible than you want to hear. But God, through James 2,000 years ago, made this statement, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And the reason that he says we should do that is that we do not deceive ourselves. People, it's one thing to lie to somebody. And that happens occasionally. We have misunderstanding or misinformation, and occasionally we'll tell somebody something that's not true. But at the instant we do that, we have a Holy Spirit inside of us that convicts us. That's not right. And we have the opportunity to correct it. But there are those who do not correct it. They do not go to the effort of making sure that what they say is the truth. And they mislead people. And when that person who does that claims to be a Christian, that hurts the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That hurts the church, and that hurts every one of us, myself included. There are people watching your life. You may not know it. You don't know it because they don't want you to know it. But they are watching your life to see what makes you different from them. They want to see Jesus Christ for real. And God wants each one of us to be real like Jesus Christ. Your life is not determined between you and me. I'm not responsible for your life. I'm not responsible for your soul. I'm responsible for this book to present it to you as it is written, as it was originally written, as the truth of God. But your responsibility is to your Heavenly Father. Your responsibility is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your responsibility is to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. I asked 7 questions a few minutes ago about this book we call the Bible. And I'd like for us this morning to look at each of those questions and answer it from the Bible, answer it scripturally. Because, folks, that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to be a church that not only preaches the Word, but believes the Word, obeys the Word. We could call that practices the Word. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. And if we will be that kind of people, God will use us that we might see some fruit. We might see people saved around us. We might see people in our lives who get saved because they see in us the Lord Jesus Christ, not some person. They see someone in the control and in the hand of God. Exactly what is this book that we have in our hands this morning? We call it by several names. Two of the more popular names are the Word of God and the Bible. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but the word Bible doesn't appear in the Bible. It's just on the cover. The Word of God is a much different name. The term Word of God appears only 4 times in the Old Testament. Just 4 times. 44 times in the New Testament. One of the more powerful explanations is found in the Gospel of John. It tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if you're looking at that passage in John chapter 1, you will notice that the word Word is capitalized, indicating deity. And from our Sunday school lesson, we know the word deity means God. I included these first 4 verses because they define a person. The person who is being referred to in these verses, the person that was instrumental in the creation of everything according to these verses, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the personification of this book. When he hung on the cross, when his life was coming to an end, he made one comment: "It is finished." That means that he fulfilled every prophecy in the Bible. Everyone. He kept every commandment of God. It is finished. He finished it to show us, you and I, we can do it if we really want to. That's the rub. We live in the flesh. We have a sin nature. Tim mentioned it this morning about the necessity of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You see, everyone sitting here in this auditorium this morning has a sin nature. You know where you got it? You want somebody to blame? You got it from your father. Comes all the way from Adam 6,000 years ago. Father, 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 father. Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. God was Jesus' father. God is without sin. God is without anything that is wicked or ugly. God fathered through the working of His Holy Spirit the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. We talked about in Sunday school this morning the necessity of Jesus being born of a virgin. A young woman who had known no man. And that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Now, Jesus, in Colossians, it talks about his person. He was a man, but he was also God. He was God's son. And it tells us in Colossians, first chapter, verses 15 through 20, this. Talking about Jesus now. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's us, folks. That's us. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you're part of the church, universal church. You're part of the church that Paul belonged to 2,000 years ago. You're part of the body of Christ. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence. And that's why we meet here together this morning. It is to make Jesus Christ prominent in our lives, to learn more about him, to follow his orders, to follow his directions. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether there be things in the earth or things in heaven. Now, folks, we all know people that we loved, people who knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, such as Patsy Hucks. She's in heaven with him. And that's due to Jesus Christ, what he did for her. And he has done the same thing for each one of us. He went to that cross to die to cover our sin so that we could have a relationship with God. And so that one day when this life was over, we could go to be with him and we could spend eternity with him because of what Jesus did here 2,000 years ago. Now, there was only one man who made peace with God through his blood on the cross. And that was Jesus at Calvary. So if you have been keeping up with what we've been looking at, then you're beginning to see that the Word and Jesus are one and the same. One and the same. Jesus Christ is the Word, the book. But there's much more. The next question was, who wrote the book? Well, the Bible was written by 44 men, different men, different places in the world, different positions in society. Some, if you're coming on Wednesday nights and we're looking at the minor prophets, some were shepherds and they were just called out of the desert to come be the prophet to warn Israel, to warn Judah about what they were doing was wrong and displeasing God and the consequences. Some were just called. No college, no high school, no seminary. And yet God spoke through them. You know what that tells me? That God can speak through any one of us. And he would like to. He can speak through us. To somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And that's one of the purposes of why we are here this morning. Is so that we will have the words to tell somebody when they want to know how to accept Jesus. So who wrote the Bible? Well, men who were called by God. And they were given the information through the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, the Holy Spirit is so important to each one of us. I hope you know him. I hope you're walking in him. That you are following the path that he is laying out for you. He moved these men to write the exact words that God wanted. And they were not robots. They're not sitting there just writing away. God used their life experience to help communicate with you and I some of the practical things of life. Ways that God interacts with man. Ways that man can interact with God if he is willing to let God have his way. God's Holy Spirit did the writing. Now, how do we know that? Well, we have two passages of Scripture that tells us about that. The Scripture itself can interpret itself through the Holy Spirit working and living in our heart. The first is in Peter, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I can't tell you what the Scripture says that you cannot read for yourself. We believe as Baptists in the priesthood of the believer. You are your own priest between God. You and God, you can go directly to him because he has made you a priest. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit living there. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't just will to do this, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's where we get our Scripture. Then again, we have testimony of the Apostle Paul when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And inspiration of God, that means that the Holy Spirit moved men to write as they did. And is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, that's just a fancy word for teaching. All Scripture is good for teaching. For reproof, it steps on our toes. It reproves us when we do the wrong thing through the Holy Spirit. For correction, showing us what the right thing is. For instruction in righteousness, how to live the kind of life that will glorify God, will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I wish that was true. It's true in the Bible. But I wish we did all good works. We don't always do that. We don't always do that. And there are consequences when you and I don't do good works. If we do bad works, if we do works that are not of God, not of the leading of God's Holy Spirit, there will be consequences. And we will all have to suffer those consequences. Since God's word is absolutely true, there can be no doubt that all of the Bible is accurate and true. So we've established that the Bible is true, that Jesus is a personification of the Bible. The next question is, what is the book about? What is the book about? The Bible is about God's desire to have a relationship with you. With you, personally. He wants you to know Him. He knows you. He knows your name. And if the day ever comes when you say, okay, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Why? Your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because He knows your name. I think there's a song to that effect, isn't there? He knows my name. He knows your name. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there will be a day when time ends that that book will be opened in heaven and that name will be read. And He'll say, okay, come over here. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name written right now? If not, it can be. So, Adam and Eve were part of His creation. And these two human beings were responsible for producing children through the marital relationship. And first they produced Cain and Abel. After they produced many more children, that's where the wives came from. You see, this is a neat part of the Bible, part that a lot of people don't understand. When God created everything, He created it perfect. So that there was no sin. Sin came through the devil, deceiving Eve. And then Adam obeyed the temptation Eve presented him. He sinned. And from that point on, sin was passed from the father to the father to the father to the father. But God chose a man, as time went on, named Noah, to build an ark. It took him 100 years. 100 years of being badgered and talked about and chided and made a fool of obeying God, and he didn't quit. And so he did what James 1:22 said. He became a doer of the word of God. Now we're coming to a point that I've been working toward. Jesus is a personification of the Bible. We have established that. When we don't do what the Bible says, we are attacking Jesus Christ. You realize that? When we sin, because Jesus is a personification of the Bible, when we fail to do what the Bible says, we are attacking Jesus Christ. You want to be his enemy? You want to hurt him? You want to do wrong to him? No. No. We don't want to. But when we get in the flesh, we do. And so, folks, this is why we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit have control of this temple of clay that we live in until God decides that we've lived here long enough and he takes us home to be with him. Our sins just don't affect the people around us, but they directly affect the Lord Jesus Christ. For every sin that we commit, he had to shed another drop of blood. We were the reason that he was nailed to that wooden tree. We are the reason that he hung there. When I see a person who does not love enough to keep Jesus' commandments, I know that I have seen a person who does not know the practice of truth. People, I know we all sin. We should have an instant response to that. The Holy Spirit should convict us immediately. If he does not do that with you, folks, get on your knees because you don't have that relationship. He's not there. And he must be there for us to live for God. He must be there for us to be able to live the life of reconciliation. How does the book end? How does the Bible end? It ends in eternity. It ends with Jesus looking in another book, like I said just a few minutes ago, to see if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it is, you can say, come on over here beside me. Stand at my side. And for eternity, eternity, we will be with him, praising him. And folks, we can't even begin to think of what eternity is going to be like. We can't even begin to think of what heaven's going to be like. I want to share just a few important facts of when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's heart. God sends his Holy Spirit because we are not capable of saving ourselves. Only God can save us. And the only way that he has done, what he's done to save us is he sent Jesus to die. Jesus paid the price for our sin. Jesus bought our soul if we will let him. But we can resist. We can withhold that. We cannot ask him to forgive us. We can live our own life and set our own rules, and we will not know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We will not have the Holy Spirit living within us. But if we come to that place where the Holy Spirit lives within us, then any time we sin, we will have conviction almost immediately And we can deal with that. We can go to God and say, oh, forgive me. I committed this sin or that sin. Forgive me, Lord. And repent and turn away from it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, and here's the evidence. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He brings the fruit of the Spirit. And many of you have memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So yes, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love. God makes us love our brothers and sisters. God makes us even love our enemies. That's the Holy Spirit working in us, working in you. That's the evidence, part of the evidence. And when you don't love, when a person who says, oh, I'm a Christian, but they don't love other people, or they have anger toward another brother or sister in Christ, that person doesn't know Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Or they are in total denial of what the Holy Spirit wants. So, we need to live by the leading of God's Holy Spirit. We need to do what James tells us to do. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. People, the worst person in the world to lie to is yourself. And a lot of people do it. Oh, look how good I am. Look how proud I am. Look how rich I am. Look how powerful I am. Look how beautiful I am. I don't have to worry about that. No. We're going to love God. We're going to love Jesus Christ. And we're going to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Keep ever before you the fact that Jesus Christ is the personification of the word of God. To fail to obey the Bible is to fail to obey Jesus. And for that, there will be consequences. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word in love, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to be a part of our life. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to send your Son to die. May we be involved in a ministry of reconciliation with those that you are placing in our lives. May your will be done according to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.